Daybreak, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A bomb planted on a road in the southern Iraqi city of Basra tore a minibus apart on Tuesday, killing at least three Iraqis and scattering body parts across the road. Witnesses at the scene initially thought four people had been killed due to the dismembered body parts that littered the road. Police said no British troops, who are in charge of policing Basra, were in the area at the time of the blast. A British military spokeswoman said she was aware of reports of an explosion, but had no further details. An unprecedented array of U.S. intelligence professionals, diplomats, and former Pentagon officials have gone on record to lambast the Bush administration for its distortion of the case for war against Iraq. A new documentary film entitled Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, features one powerful condemnation after another. From a former director of the CIA, two former assistant secretaries of defense, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and even the man who served as President Bush's secretary of the army until just a few months ago. The hour-long film was put together by Robert Greenwald, a veteran TV producer in the forefront of Hollywood's anti-war movement. Two dozen interviewees revealed how the pre-war intelligence record on Iraq showed virtually the opposite of the picture the administration painted to Congress, to U.S. voters, and to the world. A former CIA analyst says that George W. Bush's reason for war with Iraq is far worse than the false premise that dragged the United States into the Vietnam War, an attack on a U.S. destroyer in the Gulf of Tonkin, which later turned out to have never happened. In an interview with London's independent newspaper, Ray McGovern accuses Bush of taking advantage of his authority as president to make people believe there must be something to his insistent allegations that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. He called Bush's run-up to the Iraq War a very calculated, 18-month, orchestrated, incredibly cynical campaign of lies to justify a war. McGovern is co-founder of a group of former CIA employees called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. The state attorney general asked a judicial panel on Monday to remove suspended Chief Justice Roy Moore from office for defying a federal judge's order to take his Ten Commandments monument off public display in the state judicial building. Proceedings against him for violating judicial canons begins Wednesday.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A California woman who found a condom in her bowl of clam chowder has sued the upscale restaurant that served it to her, saying she has suffered depression and anxiety from the shocking discovery. She said she first thought the object was a latex glove, then became physically ill when she realized what it was. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly 1 million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day working for the richest retailer in the world. "Oh, no," cried Walmart executives, "they don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages." This is Jim Hightower saying, what a crock. Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you for joining us this Veterans Day. Armistice Day. It was called Armistice Day when I was a kid. That's how old I am. Tonight we're going to focus here in the first hour a bit on Veterans Day. It began as in November 11th, 1918, the anniversary of the armistice, which was signed by the Allies and the Germans, ending World War I after 4 years of conflict. 5 a.m. on Monday, November 11, 1918, the Germans signed the armistice and order was issued for all firing to cease, and thus the hostilities of the First World War ended. That was, if I remember, that was the war to end all wars, right? The day began with the laying down of arms, blowing of whistles, impromptu parades, closing of places of business all over the globe. There were many demonstrations. No doubt the world has never before witnessed such rejoicing. A year later, November 1919, President Woodrow Wilson issued his Armistice Day proclamation. The last paragraph kind of set the tone for future observances, of which we celebrate one today. Woodrow Wilson wrote, quote, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." Changed a bit, right? C.W., who is one of our listeners in Mississippi, is part of a web ring or a group list. He sent me this. Said, "Mike, this was sent to me on our mail list. I thought it was pertinent." This is from Jane. "Well, it's Veterans Day. I dusted off my father's old Navy uniform and thought about him and checked my email. Cher says that many of the 4,000 GIs injured in Iraq are missing arms and or legs. George, I want an apology for that. And you can make amends by spending the rest of your life in the new Christian wing of the Sugar Land, Texas jail. Next, I read an email from Walt at Seattle Indie News. He suggested that Bush serve out all the days he was AWOL during the Vietnam years, serve them out in a reserve company in Iraq, preferably Fallujah. Sounds like a plan. I just want to get the troops home before any more arms and legs are lost. We don't have much time here. The life we save may be our sons. Everyone on this list needs to go out today and tell at least two people about the horrors that Bush is inflicting upon our armed services. We have few reserve troops left. We are treating our veterans like scum. This privatization of the military is leaving our troops without experienced backup. We are pouring buckets of money that we don't have into Bush's Swiss bank accounts. Weapons money is going to projects that don't work rather than the proven less expensive ones. Military children's school funds are endangered. You know the drill. Happy Veterans Day. Thanksgiving is the next holiday coming up, but there's good news there. We can all get free turkeys from the Salvation Army to supplement our meager lot. Not quite the same as the 2 million or so that George will spend on his turkey dinner, but, if we are very quiet and very good, Fox News will let us watch. Regards, Jane. Now, is there cynicism afoot on the program tonight? There is indeed. There is indeed. There is indeed. How many of you have ever heard of Wilfred Owen? He was a young man. He was born in 1893. He was on the continent. He was in Europe teaching until he, this is during World War I, until he visited a hospital for the wounded. And then he decided in September of 1915 to return to England and enlist. And he wrote later, quote, I came out in order to help these boys, directly by leading them as well as an officer can, indirectly by watching their sufferings, that I may speak of them as well as a pleader can. I have done the first. End quote. Now, Wilfred Owen was injured in March 1917 and sent home. A year later, he was fit for duty, and he was returned to the front. On November 4th, 1918, just 7 days before the armistice was signed, he was caught in a German machine gun attack and killed. He was 25 when he died. The bells were ringing on November 11th, 1918, in Shrewsbury, England, to celebrate the armistice when the doorbell rang at Wilfred Owen's parents' home, bringing them the telegram telling them their son was dead. Some of you are familiar with Wilfred Owen's poetry. For those of you who are not, Google his name, Wilfred Owen. You'll be surprised how much of his poetry you've heard before and didn't know who had written it. From Jeffrey, Mike, I wanted to send something to you containing my thoughts on Veterans Day. I hope I'm not out of line. Veterans Day has always been treated as a non-holiday in my house. My dad would rarely, if ever, discuss his service, took no credit for his actions, and harbored a general disdain for the U.S. government following his tours of duty. Like so many others of current and wars past, he enlisted voluntarily, an act he describes as a folly of youth. At 18, I wanted to join the service, which prompted the first time my father ever described some of his experiences in detail. One such story resounded, and I paraphrase. We arrived in Saigon to receive our detachment orders. The guy in charge of overseas operations explains that we are supposed to help the South Vietnamese Army patrol an area of 35 miles around Nha Trang and engage and harass the enemy on sight. My CO turned to me and asked, So, Pee-wee, have you got the guts to kill? I didn't know what to say. I was 19 years old, and what the hell did I know? We flew into Nha Trang the next morning, and the base was under heavy fire. The fighting lasted most of the morning and eventually subsided. We lined up each wounded man, and I began administering first aid. I was the medic, and my first duty was to assess who could and could not be saved. My CO was wounded, and he laid there begging, Help me, Pee-wee, help me! But I had to step over him because in the time it would have taken to save him, I would have had to let three other men die. I did everything I could for everyone I could. It turned out the guts I needed to kill were there, but not in the way he expected. A week later, the same guy that gave us the kill everyone speech outside Nha Trang showed up to take command. Suddenly, the mission changed. We were no longer allowed to venture outside the perimeter. From now on, our mission would be guarding and maintaining the security of the base. In other words, it was all bullshit. End quote. Jeffrey goes on, my dad received several medals and commendations for his service, none of which he would discuss freely. I remember him giving my younger brother his Silver Star to use as part of a childhood Halloween costume. Han Solo, for those of you who are interested. And I remember he had a box of other stuff, junk debris, as he called it, stowed away in the bowels of our family home. Inside were other bars, other medals, and bullets. Discussing them was never an option. When it came time for the recruiter to take me for a physical, my dad, the 5'4" former Green Beret, persuaded the recruiter to leave without me and never to darken our doorstep again. My dad explained that he was always more concerned about being known for what was important. He was a dad, a husband, a businessman, a plumber, a restaurant owner. These, he said, were the measure of his stature, not the experiences into which he was thrust as a wide-eyed and naive youth. I've made it a family tradition to participate in Veterans Day services and remembrances here in New Hampshire, and I intend to teach my son to do the same. The day is far too important to be left to mattresses and appliance sales, to lonely old men and cold stone monuments. Our veterans, all veterans, whether serving by circumstance or their own personal choice, deserve more. They deserve our gratitude and our support. I call my dad every Veterans Day and thank him. And I thank all the veterans with whom I work personally. And their humility humbles me. My father, Robert Louis Dorego, served in Vietnam from 1961 to 1964 with the Green Berets. I have taken Siegfried Sassoon's words to heart, although written in 1919, these words. And about years following a war so distant from us now, the words ring true and burn today as they did then. The title is Aftermath. Have you forgotten yet? For the world's events have rumbled on since those gagged days, like traffic checked while at the crossing of city ways, and the haunted gap in your mind is filled with thoughts that flow like clouds in the lit heaven of life, and you're a man reprieved to go, taking your peaceful share of time, with joy to spare. But the past is just the same, and war is a bloody game. Have you forgotten yet? Look down and swear by the slain of the war that you will never forget. Do you remember the dark months you held the sector at Mametz, the nights you watched and wired and dug and piled sandbags on parapets? Do you remember the rats and the stench of corpses rotting in front of the front-line trench and dawn coming dirty white and chill with a hopeless rain? Do you ever stop and ask, is it all going to happen again? Do you remember the hour of din before the attack and the anger, the blind compassion that seized and shook you as you peered at the doomed and haggard faces of your men? Do you remember the stretcher cases lurching back with dying eyes and lolling heads, those ashen gray masks of the lads who were once keen and kind and gay? Have you forgotten yet? Look up and swear by the green of the spring that you'll never forget. Now, from Wilfred Owen, whose name I mentioned at the beginning of this, there's an anti-war propaganda piece that, although written a generation before Jeffrey's dad was born, Jeffrey included it in his email, and it speaks of the proper attitude regarding war. And I'm sure most of you have heard of it. It is, the full title is Dulce et Decorum Est Pro Patria Mori, which literally means it is sweet and proper to die for your country. I want to share that with you when we come back. He cries out. We'll be right back.
I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour, Wilfred Owen, the young man who wrote an incredible volume of anti-war poetry during World War I, died when he was 25. He was killed in a German machine gun attack. His parents were notified as the bells were sounding in England of the end of World War I. His parents were notified that he was dead. Probably his most famous, or if not famous, most well-read poem is the one, Dulce et Decorum Est. The full title is Dulce et Decorum Est Pro Patria Mori, which means simply it is sweet and proper to die for your country.
When the
Like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge, till on the haunting flares we turned our backs and toward our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of tired, outstripped five nines that dropped behind. Gas, gas, quick, boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea I saw him drowning. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you, too, could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face, like a devil's sick of sin, if you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cut of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues, my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce et decorum est pro patria mori. A lot of thanks to Jeffrey DiRigo, who sent to me the shared with us here the letter about his thoughts on Veterans Day, how it is acknowledged in his family, and also the poem by Wilfred Owen. Thanks, Jeffrey. I appreciate the effort. I really do. A little bit later in the program, we have the things they wrote that we're going to share with you. Some of you may have seen that today in the New York Times. And again, the program tonight is chock-a-block with cynicism tinged grief. George W. Bush honored America's veterans today. He went to Arlington National Cemetery for a few moments and then gave a speech at, of all places, of course, the American Heritage Foundation, which itself was chock-a-block with well-fed, rotund white males, most of whom had avoided any sort of military duty any time in their lives. We'll have some of those quotes from Mr. Bush when we come back.
Times must a man look up before he can see the sky. Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The Tree of Life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big, weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says a lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases. And he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the Tree of Life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
<Yeah. laughs> But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are acknowledging, commemorating in our way, Veterans Day today, which started out 80 years ago, 90 years ago, just about, as Armistice Day, the end of the war to end all wars, World War I. Bush was at Arlington National Cemetery for a brief photo op before he ducked into the Heritage Foundation to talk to people who would be very sympathetic to his point of view. The gall of this deserter is choking. Makes you wonder here in this particular soundbite how many of the funerals of these people he refers to as young Americans, dead young Americans, how many funerals he's attended. Oh, there's no need for somebody to attend funerals. Here's Mr. Bush.
On this Veterans Day, with our nation at war, Americans are deeply aware of the current military struggle and of recent sacrifice. Young Americans have died in liberating Iraq and Afghanistan. They've died in securing freedom in those countries. The loss is terrible. It is borne especially by the families left behind. But in their hurt and in their loneliness, I want these families to know your loved ones served in a good and just cause.
It just makes me want to scream. This is not a good and just cause, you lying bastard, you deserter, you thug, you punk, you killer. This is not a good and just cause. This was a war of choice put together by people like Richard Pearl and Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, and you. This is not a good and just cause, George. This is murder and mayhem so that your friends can take advantage of Iraq's resources, you lying punk. Remind me again, George, why are our servicemen and women dying in Iraq and Afghanistan? Tell me again.
Today, in assignments around the world, more than 1.4 million Americans are on active duty, earning the title of veteran by serving in the cause of freedom. They have liberated two nations, Afghanistan and Iraq, delivering more than 50 million people from the hands of dictators. Those who serve and fight today are adding great achievements of their own to America's history. America's grateful for their daring, grateful for their honor, and grateful for their sacrifice.
That last part, grateful for their sacrifice, means, hey, thanks for dying and all for my phony terror wars. Well, what did he say there? They have liberated two nations, Afghanistan and Iraq. Really? Well, the deputy governor of Zabul province in Afghanistan has said that former Taliban have captured two cities of his province. Talking to Radio Mashhad, the deputy governor said that the majority of the people of Zabul province were the supporters of Taliban, and they were not supporting the Afghan central government. This governor speculated that four other cities have probably fallen into the hands of the Taliban. While speaking about the security situation in the province, this governor revealed that weak Afghan government and people's support to Taliban were the main reason behind the growing disturbance in the province. Well, gee, somebody forgot to put in Bush's daily briefing that the Taliban are retaking, inch by inch, Afghanistan, that part of Afghanistan that is not under the firm fascist control of the warlords, as it was when the Soviets invaded. But George Bush says two nations have been liberated. Is this what liberation looks like in Iraq? Bush, incredibly, is trying to justify the deaths of our sons and daughters by the events of September 11, 2001, yet again. Yet Osama remains at large, as does Saddam. The 911 victims' families' lawsuits are blocked. The 911 Commission is refused documents by the Bush administration, and we send our children, our boys and girls, to die in Afghanistan and Iraq, knowing full well that 15 of the 19 terrorists came from Saudi Arabia.
At this hour, many thousands are following their duty at great risk. One young man serving in Iraq recently said this: "We in the military signed up and pledged to protect this great country of ours from enemies, foreign and domestic. We're fighting," he said, "so that the next generation might never have to experience anything like September the 11th, 2001.
He does it again, doesn't he? Excerpts from letters from Captain, Army Captain Joshua Byers, who was 29. He was from Anderson, South Carolina. He was killed on July 23rd when a bomb detonated under his vehicle. Thursday, June 5th. "Dear Mom and Dad, a couple of days ago, my squadron commander told me that I would be taking command of Fox Troop in June after all." Sweet. "I left my conversation with him walking on air. Not only will I soon be a cavalry troop commander, the most lethal combination of firepower that a captain can be in command of in any service, but I also will have the opportunity and the incredible responsibility of commanding in combat. I have to admit that I'm really nervous and just pray that I'm up to the task out here to lead 120 men in combat operations. I will give them everything I have to give. I love them already just because they're mine. I pray with all my heart that I will be able to take every single one of them home safe when we finish our mission here." Friday, June 20th. Dear Mom and Dad, it seems like I've been here for so much longer than I have. My life away from here seems so far away. In some ways, I don't think I'll ever have it back completely. I think war takes certain things from you, or maybe it gives certain things that change your perspective. I love being in command. It's so great to lead again. I love taking care of my men and accomplishing our missions together here. I am blessed. Thursday, July 3rd. Dear Mom and Dad, in the past two nights, we've been attacked each night while on patrol. No casualties for us. I see more bravery in a day here than I had seen in my entire life prior to this. I'm healthy and doing fine, although I really want to get that redeployment order and come home, as everyone does. But I don't dwell on it. We're accomplishing our mission here, and I think I'll take a lot of pride in that for the rest of my life. Although the sacrifice is great, the rewards of service are so much greater. Friday, July 18th. Dear Mom and Dad, life here continues to be challenging, but we're all hanging in. We got a blow to our morale a few days ago when the Corps commander visited us. He's a three-star general. He said there was no way we were going home in less than 9 to 12 months. Man, that's going to suck. We're working on month number 4 right now, and it already seems like we've been here forever and a day. I still love being a commander. I love leading troops and taking care of them. It's a huge responsibility, and I feel the weight of it every day. I send the thing I love most out here, my men, into harm's way every day and every night. I just do my best to ensure that they're ready, trained, equipped, and properly led in every situation. Monday, July 21st. Dear Mom and Dad, we conducted a huge operation in the desert about a week ago. We had intel that suggested that the bad guys were hiding weapons and ammo out in the desert and bringing it into the city to attack us. We swept all of the desert north of us and found lots of weapons, lots of ammo. Two of the targets that we captured turned out to be first cousins of Saddam Hussein. I love you both with all my heart. I'm working very hard here, adding honor to our country and to our family name. Love, Josh. 2 days later, Captain Joshua Byers, 29, was killed when a bomb detonated under his vehicle. Excerpt of an email message to his wife, Teresa, from Army Sergeant, Master Sergeant Kevin Moorhead, 33 years old, of Little Rock, Arkansas, who was killed September 12th during a raid on enemy forces. This message was sent July 7th. Hey, baby. I do enjoy planning for the future. It gives me a lot of hope to be able to plan for our success. Sometimes I think that maybe I wouldn't come up with these plans if I wasn't deployed. Being here focuses my attention on home, and I have time to come up with lots of avenues for us. It has been one blessing for me being here. I think if we can get the things done that I've come up with, we'll be able to have a prosperous life ahead of us. I don't want you to worry about how we're going to make it after I get out. I want us to be able to enjoy our life and do things that we want to do. I think after we get these bills settled and get back on track this winter with the property and the house, next spring I'm going to get us another boat. We had a lot of fun when we had a boat. I remember when me and you and Jesse used to go to the lake and camping. Those are really fun times. I would eventually like to get a camper or an RV, too. I know how you like to have a nice place to stay. If we got a nice camper, then it would almost be like staying in a hotel room with air conditioning and a private shower and a queen-size bed. I love you very much. I can't wait to get on with our lives. I really look forward to our future together. Kevin. Master Sergeant Kevin Moorhead was killed September 12th. From Army PFC Rachel Bosveld of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, who was 19 when she was killed October 26 in a mortar attack. Tuesday, October 14th. Mom. I'm doing fine, Mom. Yes, I did get into a sort of accident, if that's what you call it. We were hit by an IED, which is an improvised explosive device, or RPG, which is a rocket-propelled grenade, which set our truck on fire because it struck the battery and fuel line. My neck and shoulder were pretty banged up for about 2 weeks. My shoulder popped and I jammed my neck as well. I'd lost my hearing in my left ear for a few weeks. My hearing in general isn't good at all anymore. I've been through my share of explosives. I'm sending pictures home to be developed of my truck, or what's left of it. I took a few of me with the truck so you could see that I'm okay. It's still pretty warm during the day, but gets very chilly at night. Could you try and find one of my hooded sweatshirts to send to me? Right now I'm soaking my feet. My feet are taking a beating in these boots. My feet are all cut up and sore. Feels so good now, anyway. I guess I haven't been taking good care of my feet this month. We have a physical training test I'm getting ready for. This month and last, we haven't gotten much time to do physical training, so I work, sleep, work, physical training, work, oh, and eat. Well, Mom, my 20-minute soak is up. Take care. I love you. Don't worry too much about me, Mom. My intuition has already saved a few lives here, and my own as well. Monday, October 20th. Mom, I'm doing great this week. Sure, I've dodged lots of bullets and such, gotten little to no sleep and eaten nasty food, but I'm doing great. I got to drive a tank. I got a tour, learned how to operate everything, load everything, and I got to drive it. I was toothed from ear to ear. I'm getting a Purple Heart for the accident, along with 8 other people in my platoon. Someone is always getting injured here. There have been no fatalities so far in my company, though, just lots of injuries. So how are you? 18 days till my birthday. I can't wait. No one probably even knows when it is over here. Well, bye for now. Just wanted to let you know I'm okay. And I miss you. I love Rachel. Rachel Bosveld, 19 of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, was killed October 26th in a mortar attack. Robert L. France, private, 19, San Antonio, who was killed June 17th when he was struck by a grenade. The letter was postmarked June 15th. Dear Mom, I got the first package in the letter you sent me. Sorry if I haven't been writing so much. I pull 12-hour guard shifts from 7 at night until 7 in the morning, and then I go on patrol sometime in between those hours, and when I'm not doing that, I'm usually sleeping. Someone shot at us last night. I was getting ready to go to sleep, and I hear pop, pop, and then the bullets ricocheted off the building right outside the window I was standing in front of. It kind of sucks when all you can think about is there's someone out there trying to kill you or your buddy next to you. All you can do is hope you kill them first. Yeah, I got to stay the night in Saddam's wife's palace the first night I was in Baghdad. That thing is huge. I want to see what his main palace looks like. I took some pictures. Hopefully they'll come out. We've had random gunfire within a 100-meter radius all night, every night, since I've been here. It kind of scares you the first couple of nights, but you tend to get used to it. Well, Mom, I got to go. Tell everyone I love them. And miss them very much. Love always and forever. Robbie. Robbie was 19 when he was struck by a grenade and killed on June 17th. From PFC Jesse Givens, 34, Springfield, Missouri. Private Givens was killed May 1st when his tank fell into the Euphrates River after the bank on which he was parked gave way. This letter was written to be delivered to his family if he died. Melissa is his wife. Dakota, his 6-year-old stepson, and Bean, the name he used for his son, Carson, who was born May the 29th. My family. I never thought I would be writing a letter like this. I really don't know where to start. I've been getting bad feelings, though, and, well, if you're reading this, the happiest moments in my life I'll deal with my little family. I will always have with me the small moments we all shared, the moments when you quit taking life so serious and smiled, the sounds of a beautiful boy's laughter or the simple nudge of a baby unborn. You will never know how complete you have made me. You saved me from loneliness and taught me how to think beyond myself. You taught me how to live and to love. You opened my eyes to a world I never dreamed existed. Melissa, I have never been as blessed as the day I met you. You are my angel, my soulmate, my wife, my lover, and my best friend. I am sorry. I did not want to have to write this letter. There is so much more I need to say, so much more I need to share, a lifetime's worth. I married you for a million lifetimes. That's how long I will be with you. Please keep my babies safe. Please find it in your heart to forgive me for leaving you alone. Teach our babies to live life to the fullest. Tell yourself to do the same. I will always be there with you, Melissa. I will always want you, need you, and love you. In my heart, my mind, and my soul. Do me a favor. After you tuck the children in, give them hugs and kisses from me. Go outside, look at the stars, and count them. Don't forget to smile. Love always, your husband, Jess.
Trouble. I have paid my debt, now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight, and I haven't got a lot of time.
Oh, hi. on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
4 and a half before the hour. According to the AP, as the country honors its veterans in ceremonies nationwide on Tuesday, citizens expressed their grief over recent soldier deaths and their concerns about the country's military engagements. In Boston, state officials honored 14 Massachusetts soldiers who have died in Iraq and Afghanistan, while outside, anti-war veterans marched in the city's annual Veterans Day parade. The Boston chapter of Veterans for Peace was not acknowledged by the parade organizers. While all the other entries were announced as they passed the review stand, the announcer was silent as the anti-war veterans marched by. Arthur Smith, past department commander of the Massachusetts American Legion, said, quote, "We do not consider them to be true veterans. They are against the war in Iraq. They were against Vietnam. They were against everything a true American veteran stands for," end quote. In New Mexico, the Veterans for Peace organization opened an exhibit called Expressions of Peace. Donald Thompson, 79 years old, president of the organization's Albuquerque chapter and a Navy veteran who served in World War II in Korea, said, "I would serve if called, but I would not be happy serving in a war for oil and for power and being misled by lies about weapons of mass destruction." From Leonard O'Grady in Ireland, a poem by E. Russell Smith. This is the war George fought. This is the land where the war was fought, that George fought. This is the oil that comes from the land where the war was fought, that George fought. This is the tractor that runs on the oil that comes from the land where the war was fought, that George fought. This is the farmer who drives the tractor that runs on the oil that comes from the land where the war was fought, that George fought. This is the sun who lies in the sand, and this is the oil that burns on the land. This is the war that George fought. I'd like to read a list honoring all the servicemen and women who have sacrificed in their lives in Bush's war on terror, but I can't. The list is simply too long. Well, this administration refuses to release actual casualty figures. Sources say there have been 452 confirmed coalition deaths in Iraq, including 398 Americans.
Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here, and no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. An Australian lawyer representing some of the suspects held without charge at the Guantanamo Bay military prison in Cuba claimed Wednesday that the U.S. military has tortured terrorist suspects. U.S.-based Richard Bork, who has been working for almost 2 years on behalf of dozens of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, said American military officials were using old-fashioned torture techniques to force confessions out of prisoners. The methods clearly fell under the definition of torture under international conventions, he told Australian Broadcasting Corporation's radio in an interview from the United States. They are engaging in good old-fashioned torture as people would have understood it in the Dark Ages, he said. An unprecedented array of U.S. intelligence professionals, diplomats, and former Pentagon officials have gone on record to lambast the Bush administration for its distortion of the case for war against Iraq. A new documentary film entitled Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, features one powerful condemnation after another. From a former director of the CIA, two former assistant secretaries of defense, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and even the man who served as President Bush's Secretary of the Army until just a few months ago. The hour-long film was put together by Robert Greenwald, a veteran TV producer in the forefront of Hollywood's anti-war movement. Two dozen interviewees revealed how the pre-war intelligence record on Iraq showed virtually the opposite of the picture the administration painted to Congress, to U.S. voters, and to the world. A bomb planted on a road in the southern Iraqi city of Basra tore a minibus apart on Tuesday, killing at least three Iraqis and scattering body parts across the road. Witnesses at the scene initially thought four people had been killed due to the dismembered body parts that littered the road. Police said no British troops, who are in charge of policing Basra, were in the area at the time of the blast. A British military spokeswoman said she was aware of reports of an explosion, but had no further details. The state attorney general asked a judicial panel on Monday to remove suspended Chief Justice Roy Moore from office for defying a federal judge's order to take his Ten Commandments monument off public display in the state judicial building. Proceedings against him for violating judicial canons begins Wednesday. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Dusseldorf, Germany man with no handcuffs captured a burglar by clamping his teeth onto the man's thumb and dragging him off to a neighbor's house. He couldn't use the phone himself, so the neighbor called the police, read Monday's statement from the police. The thief received treatment for his injured thumb. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly a million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day, working for the richest retailer in the world. "Oh, no," cried Walmart executives. "They don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages." This is Jim Hightower saying, "What a crock." Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back on this Veterans Day 2003. We're at 800-TALK-YES. If you'd like to join us, 800-825-5937. Don't forget, you can always email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. I guess we started so abruptly tonight, didn't we, Kathy? I didn't mention that Catherine Bay produces, and Robin Bittman is our announcer. And the phone number and the email address. Phone number again is 800-TALK-YES. And you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Frank is calling. He is our Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Mike. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes, and that was quite a first hour you had there. How can I follow that up? I had an article here from a veteran in Saskatoon today.
Uh-huh.
Who was involved in the German Luftdivision,
uh-huh.
Part of the Great Escape.
Right.
His name was Donald Jackson, and he says, "I'm glad to be a survivor, and I'm sorry about all the people who are gone." And he says, when asked whether this year's service had particular meaning because of the war in Iraq, Jackson simply answered. He said, quote, "I just hope it ends up the way we'd like it to."
Mm.
"It is always the innocent." He says, "It's always the innocent who suffer."
Yeah.
And there's no other truer way to put that. And I forgot to add on one of my previous calls, I was going to mention that Craig Chan actually had gone straight to Afghanistan to actually thank his troops and try to boost the morale.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost six Canadians. We've lost six Canadians out of some 2,000 there now in that theater.
Well, Frank. You say you've lost six Canadians. Does that include the deaths from U.S. friendly fire?
No,
it does not.
I don't think so.
Okay,
but we lost two recently. It might have included those four, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the four and then the two. Make six. But it was interesting that Craig Chan actually had gone over there. Would you see George Bush in Iraq or in Afghanistan giving a morale boost to his troops?
No, the U.S. military. There's an article in Army Times that I'm going to a link to which I'm going to post on my website when the program's over this evening. The U.S. military is furious and getting more furious with the lack of leadership from the Department of Defense, which means Rumsfeld. And Rumsfeld, of course, was hired by George W. Bush. I honestly believe that it's very quiet. It's very below the radar, but there is developing in the U.S. Armed Forces a clear realization that George Bush and his thugs are probably the most anti-military regime ever to step onto the American political stage. Anti-military in the sense of these quality of life issues that military families must have if they are going to go put themselves at risk to kill and to die. They must have certain quality of life situations that are minimal at best, but they're absolute necessities. And the Bush crime family is trying to destroy all of them.
They're not options.
No, they are not.
These are a lot of basics, like having proper boots and proper armor, you know.
It's also about having a proper education facilities on bases for your children, while you are off killing and dying for George Bush's oil buddies. And there's an effort right now to close commissaries, to close schools on these bases, to close bases themselves. Now, you can make an argument for closing military bases, but not when you are involved in a war. For Christ's sake, every time a Democrat criticizes what Bush is doing, the right wing in this country, which is the entire Republican Party, jumps on that Democrat and says, how dare you say things when we're at war, while in the meantime, the Bush crime family is cutting every single thing they can cut for U.S. military families. And again, I
even right down to $8 a day
right.
to pay for meals in a hospital while one will never recuperate from some of those injuries.
And I just wonder.
The only thing that's being liberated is the arms and legs.
Yeah,
unfortunately, of a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, like I've said before on this program, I wonder how much longer the U.S. military, people who wear the uniform of the various U.S. military organizations are going to continue to support somebody like George Bush. Hey, listen, Frank, good to hear from you. Thank you for checking in, sir.
Yeah, talk to you again.
All right, Frank, take care. By the way, speaking of too stupid to be president and too cowardly to even show up for his National Guard duty, that would be Bush. Who sent this to me? This is so strange. This is from the Australian Press. The spirit of U.S. President George W. Bush has been trapped in a clay pot and tossed into a river in northern Thailand after being cursed by hundreds of farmers protesting U.S. agriculture policy. A photograph of Bush was sealed inside a pot amid black magic mantra chants, then tossed into the Ping River on Friday by demonstrators after they rallied at the U.S. consulate in Chiang Mai, according to a farm group leader. The man said, this is a traditional Northern Thai ceremony aimed at keeping his spirit down on the riverbed so he could not come and exploit our natural resources or suppress our farming brothers with his superior influence. 300 protesters showed up claiming to represent 20,000 members from 7 northern provinces in Thailand. They railed, as well as rallied, against imminent plans for a free trade agreement between Thailand and the United States. The cursing and placing the spirit of Bush in the clay pot was also a protest against Washington's military intervention in sovereign nations, according to the Bangkok Post. A respected elder performed the... well, they call them voodoo rites here, inscribing ancient Khmer scripts on the pot aimed at trapping the spirit of George W. Bush. Jesus Christ. Witchcraft to get rid of this vile, vile human being. Oh, my God. Eric is calling from Washington, D.C. Eric, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, first time calling, Mike. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Welcome aboard.
I'm just sitting here, and I'm watching this Jessica Lange insanity. And she's basically talking about it was all a lie. I mean, I'm watching it right now, and that's basically...
Oh, the interview with Diane Sawyer?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and she's saying that she was exploited by the Department of Defense.
Correct. And so my question to you is, what's the genesis of this story? Is it Karl Rove's office? Is it the DIA? I mean, where's the genesis of this story?
I think it's Rove. Rove is such a conscienceless son of a bitch that it would be Karl Rove who would scour through battle reports looking for a story he could exploit, looking for something, just like Bush landing on the aircraft carrier with his jock strap hiked up around his chin. I mean, this is what Karl Rove does. This is why he makes the big bucks. Karl Rove is a soul killer. He is a spirit killer. And I'm sure this story came from Rove and from Cheney and from Rumsfeld because they had to sell this war. They lied to get us into it. They lied to the entire world. They lied to the American public. They took us to war, for Christ's sake, based on lies. So they need something to divert our attention. Enter Jessica Lynch.
So whether it be the economy, with the new 7.2 growth, whether it be the war, whether it be the war in Iraq or the war on terrorism, I guess they've morphed now, or the 9/11, they basically pick and choose what they want to do and tell the American people that, and that's how they get over. And American people are so dumb that they believe this. Is that, and that's where we're living in now?
That's pretty much on target. And sadly, the reason we are dumb or ignorant is because we don't have a media in this country that is that accepts its responsibility to inform us seriously. It's not that we Americans are inherently stupid, although we're getting damn close to that. It's because we do not get information. There's a handful of journalists left in this country.
He's not in this country anymore, really.
Right. Just a handful left who are willing to report the truth and to go after these bastards in power. And so, yes, we are ignorant. Yes, we are stupid. Yes, we are blindly jingoistic. We raise our right arms in salute of George W. Bush. But part of the reason is because our media has utterly and completely failed us.
But the basic question of, are you better than you were 4 years ago, do Americans not ask themselves that at all? I mean, answer me that. I mean, explain it to me.
I don't know.
Like winger friends, like anybody else, I wouldn't go so far as to call them friends, but people that you meet.
You know, I have that same question.
It's a basic question.
I don't know. I just don't know. I can't understand how any working class person in this country would vote for any Republican, much less a member of the Bush administration. I don't understand how any middle class, if there's a difference between the working class and middle class, let's assume there is. Let's assume working class is 50 grand a year and down, and middle class is 100 grand a year and down. I don't see how anybody in either of those two groups could possibly vote for any Republican, and especially not anyone who's involved with the Bush crime family. I don't get it, but that might be because I'm stupid.
I think I'm with you. So what does that have to be stupid? So is it basically, and I'll let you go. I know you got a lot of callers, but is it basically just a religion thing, and is it the morality thing, and people want to believe that they're just more than other people? And is that basically what it boils down to?
I guess. There's a brand of so-called Christianity that is polluting and destroying this country that pretty much says that, you know, I'm better than you. Jesus is my buddy. I'm going to go to heaven. You're going to burn in hell. And the reason I'm going to go to heaven is because I support blowing up Muslim children and destroying Muslim countries and following George Bush into hell, or into heaven. And I can't get a handle on it, Eric.
Families, we're all dysfunctional. I mean, like, okay, I'm growing up, and not to go into a long diatribe, but we all have problems, and
right. You
have families. You know, my dad liked to drink a little bit, and
right. Every
one of my friends had the same thing, and people put this front on, like, family values and everybody's family is good. It's just bunk.
Eric,
you know?
Eric, if you come up with an answer, call me back and let me know, pal.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate you taking my call, man. Be good.
Thank
man.
You, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Strikes across the frontier and strikes for higher wage. Planet lurches to the right as ideologies engage. Suddenly it's repression, moratorium. Panic would invite. Personless speech shrugs. Security comes first. But the devil is normalized. It always gets worse.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Put our nation first. But the devil is normal. It always gets worse.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties all of a sudden, so until we get it...
I knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people that we live in a dangerous world, and we do.
As long as you sit in the Oval Office, you moron, that's pretty much true. We do live in a dangerous world, because you are a killer, and you have no conscience, none. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate this guy? Huh? I haven't? Oh, my God. An hour and 24 minutes into the program, and I'm just now getting around to it? Bush again. Now, after he moved from Arlington National Cemetery today, he went to the Heritage Foundation. Aww. The Heritage Foundation. Now, we've been led to believe, of course, the mission in Iraq was to rid a dangerous regime of their terrible weapons of mass destruction. Their nuclear weapons that are just sitting there ready to hit our cities, their poisons, their gases, their anthrax, their sarin, their just, oh my God. Wasn't that the justification that Wolfowitz said everyone could agree to? That's what Congress was told, the American people, everybody. Karl Rove just keeps changing the reason we're there to fit the mood. Here's the latest.
Our mission in Iraq and Afghanistan is clear to our service members and clear to our enemies. Our men and women are fighting to secure the freedom of more than 50 million people who recently lived under two of the cruelest dictatorships on earth. Our men and women are fighting to help democracy and peace and justice rise in a troubled and violent region.
You lying son of a bitch, you filthy liar. How about Kazakhstan? Huh? Let's talk about Kazakhstan, because we talked about that country on this program, Bush, not more than 2 or 3 weeks ago. Kazakhstan, where your government supports a regime who boils people when they want information. Boils them alive until they're dead. God, it's just unreal. Our men and women are fighting to help democracy and peace and justice rise in a troubled and violent region. The Bush crime family is promoting war, injustice, death, destruction, torture in that part of the world. I don't know how much more I can stand before I do something irrational.
Oh, what would that be, Mike?
Oh, I don't know. Is that the mission that he used to try to justify his preemptive attacks? Do you remember hearing that? We're going to go out there and save 50 million people because they're living under dictatorships. And they're awful, so we're going to go free them. No. That's not what he said. It was Saddam's deadly weapons of mass destruction and nuclear ambitions and threat to his neighbors and threat to America. And he gassed his own people and on and on and on and on. But you see, this is what Karl Rove understands. This is what a caller from D.C. said just a moment ago. Karl Rove understands that you and I are stupid. We are just grossly ignorant. Not you and I. But the American public is grossly ignorant, because Karl Rove understands that the media dare not do anything to expose this fraudulent regime and do its part to bring it down. So Karl Rove knows that he can have his little puppet, his little George, go out there and now just completely, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, and by the way, George, how's the search coming? Have you found anything yet? You haven't found anything. Oh, I see. So now it's because 50 million people lived under dictatorships that we could no longer tolerate, because we are about freedom and justice in that part of the world, except for Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and Pakistan and Afghanistan. Let's not talk about that.
The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is in Afghanistan more died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The tree of life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big, weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says a lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases, and he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the tree of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council. The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
And how about this moron's mother, Barbara Bush? We didn't mention it when the story came out because, you know, why bother? But she described the Democratic candidates who are all trying to win the Democratic Party nomination as a sorry group. Remember that? Her words. They are a sorry group. Well, the Democratic lineup that she referred to as a sorry group contains two decorated war veterans, a Rhodes Scholar, a top West Point graduate, a longtime legislator, a successful mayor, a successful governor, numerous public servants, none of whom warranted such an undignified and filthy characterization coming out of the mouth of this old bitch, Barbara Bush. A sorry group? A sorry group? This is a woman whose spawn include three substance-abusing grandchildren, a felonious whoremonger son, that would be Neil, an ethically challenged son, that would be Marvin, an HMO fund embezzler and election thief, that would be Jeb, a coke-sniffing deserter from a Texas Air National Guard unit, that would be W, a vehicularly homicidal daughter-in-law, that would be Laura, a father-in-law and a grandfather-in-law who traded with and supported Nazi Germany, and she calls the Democrats a sorry group? Why, of course she does. Of course she does. Now, what do we have here? This is Bush's spirit. Hello?
Ooh, I'm Bush's spirit, and I'm... You gotta help me, Mac.
Is this the spirit that's trapped in the bottle in the bottom of the river in Thailand?
I'm in a clay pot somewhere in Thailand.
Yeah?
It's very scary. I needed to contact somebody, and Rush Limbaugh's all tied up. Literally.
Yeah, well, you sound like you're inside some kind of a cylindrical object.
Yeah, I'm in a... like a clay pot or something. It's not so bad because there's chicken satay and sticky rice in here.
There is sticky rice.
Sticky rice.
Are you there helping Jeb's wife, Columba, smuggle objects of art past customs? Are you there? Why are you there? What the hell are you doing in a clay pot?
I've been trapped in here by some Thai people.
Some Thai people?
Well, they're all wearing neckties or something. I can't figure it out, but I'm trapped down here, and I can't finish my mission.
Well, they cursed you. They cursed your spirit. They put you where you are. They're not just some Thai people. They may be wearing ties, but these are pretty powerful sorcerers and witch doctors.
You're telling me they put the mojo on me.
They put it on you big time. So you say you can't finish your mission. What's the mission today? Oh, and by the way, is Cheney in there with you?
No, he's in an undisclosed location.
Yeah, okay.
My mission?
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Kill them all? Yeah. That's going to be a little difficult to do inside a clay pot, right, George, or whoever you are, right?
Well, I'm not George.
Well, I
exactly.
I know.
I'm his spirit.
I understand. I understand.
But the joke is on the Thai people.
On the Thai people? Why is the joke on the Thai people?
Well, they tried to get the spirit in here, and I'm the spirit for sure, but right now in the Oval Office, there's just a body.
Yeah.
No spirit.
Yeah.
And there's never been no brains.
Yeah. What are your plans? I mean, if you're trying
to... I'm just going to cool my heels. Maybe learn how to ride one of them Segways.
Uh-huh. Well, inside a clay jar, you're going to do that?
I have access to the Internet.
I see.
It's a good thing Al Gore invented it.
Can you ride a Segway when you are a disembodied spirit?
Easier than I can when I've got a body.
Yeah?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I can't keep away from the hooch.
I certainly understand.
Just keep them pretzels away from me.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think you're being punished. You may be making light of this, but it sounds to me like the Thai sorcerers were able to do a pretty...
Well, it looks like they've done their job, that's for sure, because I'm...
It does.
I'm about as stuck in here as... We can't get fooled again.
Right. That's very true. Well, listen, obviously you took in your long-distance charge card with you. So
yeah, I'm all have to get off. I'm trying to find Carl Rove, but I think he's at some sort of Oktoberfest with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Well, stay in touch if you want to.
I expect to be here for quite some time.
Yeah, it's not often that we hear from a disembodied spirit, so...
Yeah, I got to tell you, that whole thing about talking to God.
Yeah?
He's not talking.
I bet. In any chance we could send you a Ouija board or something? By the way, is David Blaine in there with you? You know, the guy in the Well, never mind. Can we send you a Ouija board or anything?
Yeah. Some.
Yeah, won't get fooled again. I understand. Yeah.
Don't get fooled again.
Right. All right. Well, listen, Bush of Spirit.
I'm going to look for them weapons now.
You're going to look for the weapons. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, thanks for calling. You take care. Daryl is calling. He's our Detroit bureau chief. Hey, Daryl.
Hey. Now, you got to have me on right after him. Come on.
Well,
good you got a commercial. I can't top that.
Well, who can? I mean, how often do you get called by a haint? You know, down here in the South, Daryl, we tie our hair up in little braids to keep the haints away.
It was almost as funny as to hear Kathy in the background.
Yeah, I know.
Is she off the floor yet?
No, yeah, she is.
Okay.
Yeah, she's. We've been trying to get pregnant, so she's kind of giddy right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the the actual reason I gave you a call was I wanted to use Veterans Day. I wanted to mark something.
Okay.
And there were some interesting articles that were headlined in the Detroit Free Press today. And first one says Veterans Day in big bold, 46 pica type, luck ran out on soldiers last day.
Oh, God.
And it's a story about how this this reporter had been embedded with these guys, and their mission had been to go up and down this 10-mile stretch of road to find these IEDs. You heard about these IEDs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Improvised explosive devices.
Right.
And they had been unsuccessful in finding any, hadn't taken any casualties, and then so the reporter left, and a few days after the reporter and his cameraman left, they, in fact, found one, but not the way they wanted to find it, and killed a couple of the guys that they had been close to.
Right.
And one of the things that the guy says in the article really is at the back end, and it's in the same kind of type as the rest of the article, but I really wish that it had been in bold and maybe a lot larger type.
Mm-hmm.
It says, young soldiers often go to war itching for action, but now that they've been tempered by battle, most of these soldiers said the only thing they wanted to do was make it back to home alive.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can go this entire time without seeing any more action, Hodge said. It wouldn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is the war. Mostly it's calm. Then someone dies. Some get to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Others leave behind grieving families. I found in another article a write-up about how this new memorial thing has gotten started.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen this website. It's called Lest They Be Forgotten.
Lest They Be Forgotten.
Right. Lest They Be Forgotten. I think
.com, .org?
Let's see. Is it a .com or a .org here?
Okay.
It's a .org.
Okay.
Yeah. Lest They Be Forgotten, .org. And what they're doing is they're memorializing the troops who get killed in Iraq with one of those old, you know how they used to stick a bayonet in the ground and put
yes.
a helmet on the top?
Yes.
Well, that's what they're doing
mm-hmm.
in the various cities to try to mark the dead. I mean, that's the only thing we're going to see of them, right? We don't get a chance to see the caskets come back. Nobody salutes them.
No.
Okay? Nobody cares. Nobody says anything.
Right.
And one by one by one by one by one, okay, we are losing good people or being put into an extremely bad situation.
And it's only going to get worse.
And it's going to get worse.
And the death toll is going to continue to go up.
I shook the hand tonight of a guy who's 75 who had been in World War II, and I thanked him for his service.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to see the tears come to his eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
These people, folks who served and made it back, folks, have seen some horrific things. And while I didn't pick, my number was high enough to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank them all.
People who have fought the so-called good wars when there was really a struggle on this planet for freedom versus totalitarianism. Those people who fought on the side of freedom, we owe everlasting respect to the 1,000th generation, to the people who have fought in wars strictly of imperialist aggression. I don't know how, it's
the same thing, Daryl. Support the troops. I would like to bring every single U.S. military man and woman home. If I were king of the world, that's what I would do tonight. Bring every single one of them home. That's how I would support the troops, because they are not fighting for freedom and justice and democracy. That's the lies and the vomit that's coming out of George Bush and Karl Rove's mouths.
And then on top of all of that, once if you make it back and you're maimed,
mm-hmm. Who cares?
Who cares? You can wait 6 weeks for medical attention.
Six months.
Thank you.
Some of them 6 months.
It's a terrible disrespect. That is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horrible. And why there is a national stink with people screaming about the fact that from the left and the right, I mean, we can mm-hmm. all end up saying folks who come back injured should have high priority.
Well, there hasn't been a clear-cut reason for sending our people into combat since 1945, since the end of World War II. Korea was not a reason. Vietnam was not a reason. Grenada was not a reason. Lebanon, Dominican Republic, Central America. There has been no good reason to send our young men, up until the last couple of wars, just men, now young women, into combat since the end of World War II. A cynic could make the case that our combat deaths since 1945 have been deaths that in the sense of fighting for freedom and justice and democracy were wasted deaths, not wasted by the young men who gave their lives, but wasted by the sons of bitches who sent them there to die. And that part just grinds on me. It just makes me almost physically sick to think about the mostly young men who have died for no reason, none. You take a look at the 58,000 Americans who died in Vietnam, and the tens of thousands who were injured. Let's just go with Americans. Let's forget the 2 million Indochinese who died. But those 58,000 Americans, they were sent there to die because we were told that if they didn't go and fight, Vietnam would go communist. For Christ's sake, what is it? It is communist. And that's what I mean. Every single death in Vietnam was an unnecessary death.
But the damage to this country goes even beyond the dead.
I know.
The damage to the psyche of the people who witnessed.
That's right.
I mean, you can hear it when they interview these young men.
That's right. They say,
at first we came over and we were trying to be nice guys.
That's right.
We were trying to make sure that we separated the bad guys from the good guys, and that we only hurt the bad guys.
Yeah.
And at this point, we don't care if the good guys get hurt, tough.
That's right.
We are just here to kill. And we feel we're in a kill-or-be-killed situation.
And they are.
And they are.
That's right.
And so we have turned people who have had a moral sense that it is right to kill mm-hmm. maybe a guy is trying to shoot you, but not so cool to kill people who are not trying to hurt you.
Yeah.
And turn them to the point where it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they will bring that home.
Yes, they will.
And they will bring that home in the seeds that they plant in the sons and daughters of the families that they raise.
Yeah, two words for you, Daryl. Timothy McVeigh. He brought home those seeds, too. Daryl, thanks for checking in, pal.
Take care.
All right, sir.
Man cried for Jesus to the black and blue. I thought God was on our side. Weren't we supposed to be the good guys that would never lose? 'Cause I don't see no ticker tape.
you, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
response.
Shame on you.
It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Isn't it time for your medication there, George? No, that's right. He's in a clay pot. 4 and a half before the hour, Mario is calling one of our over-the-road truckers who is in Indiana. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
It's going fine, sir.
Listen, I'll make this real fast. My daddy served in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He was down at the Baton, and nobody, you know, you hear them talk, and it's a hell of a lot different than hearing George and Karl Rove and these damn chicken hawks that are in our Congress now.
Oh, yeah.
And these boys don't, and what, one thing they fail to remember, and I think all you Republicans out there, you better remember this. Half the laws that that you call liberals were voted in by men who knew true sacrifice. And they were anything but liberal. They were progressive, but they weren't liberal. Nobody wanted to give anything away for free to people who didn't want to work. We got boys over there dying right now and losing their arms and legs. And we got a chicken hawk for a president. He'll hug a woman out in California who lost $1 million home, but you won't see him anywhere in a funeral or going through the wards of hospitals where we got boys without arms or legs.
No, you won't. Bad photo op.
You know, and one more thing. That man, I'm not good on names. That man over in Georgia who would, you know, they voted him out, he had lost limbs in, what was it, Vietnam?
Yeah, Max Cleland.
I hope he runs again.
I hope he does.
Only this time, at the exit poll, ask people who voted for him to come forward and take down their names.
There you go.
Because with those damn machines they got now, they'll steal it again.
There you go.
Can I make one more comment?
You certainly can.
I know you're like Tony. That's why you had him on your show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's been removed for a damn woman who wants to talk about meditation. Now, adoptions are important, but that has nothing to do with politics. Anybody who listens to him and liked him like I did, call Sirius. Let them know that that's our political station. Put the woman on 146.
There you go.
I know I'm taking your time, but, sir, that's the way I feel about it. That's our political station. They keep on putting this other stuff on our station.
I hear you. Well, Mario, when you call in, it's your time, pal. Listen, thanks for calling in. Drive safe, okay?
Hey, man, and I missed you when you were in the hospital with that surgery.
I know. That's why I got back on the air. Drive safe, Mario.
You got it, man. Be safe.
All right, sir. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A bomb planted on a road in the southern Iraqi city of Basra tore a minibus apart on Tuesday, killing at least three Iraqis and scattering body parts across the road. Witnesses at the scene initially thought four people had been killed due to the dismembered body parts that littered the road. Police said no British troops, who are in charge of policing Basra, were in the area at the time of the blast. A British military spokeswoman said she is aware of reports of an explosion, but had no further details. An unprecedented array of U.S. intelligence professionals, diplomats, and former Pentagon officials have gone on record to lambast the Bush administration for its distortion of the case for war against Iraq. A new documentary film entitled Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, features one powerful condemnation after another. From a former director of the CIA, two former assistant secretaries of defense, a former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, and even the man who served as President Bush's Secretary of the Army until just a few months ago. The hour-long film was put together by Robert Greenwald, a veteran TV producer in the forefront of Hollywood's anti-war movement. Two dozen interviewees revealed how the pre-war intelligence record on Iraq showed virtually the opposite of the picture the administration painted to Congress, to U.S. voters, and to the world. A former CIA analyst says that George W. Bush's reason for war with Iraq is far worse than the false premise that dragged the United States into the Vietnam War, an attack on a U.S. destroyer in the Gulf of Tonkin, which later turned out to have never happened. In an interview with London's independent newspaper, Ray McGovern accuses Bush of taking advantage of his authority as president to make people believe there must be something to his insistent allegations that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction. He called Bush's run-up to the Iraq War a very calculated, 18-month, orchestrated, incredibly cynical campaign of lies to justify a war. McGovern is co-founder of a group of former CIA employees called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. The state attorney general asked a judicial panel on Monday to remove suspended Chief Justice Roy Moore from office for defying a federal judge's order to take his Ten Commandments monument off public display in the state judicial building. Proceedings against him for violating judicial canons begins Wednesday.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A California woman who found a condom in her bowl of clam chowder has sued the upscale restaurant that served it to her, saying she has suffered depression and anxiety from the shocking discovery. She said she first thought the object was a latex glove, then became physically ill when she realized what it was. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Walmart, the recidivist criminal, is back in trouble with the law. Jesse James, Bonnie and Clyde, and Al Capone have nothing on this notorious violator of our nation's laws and moral code of behavior. It routinely robs its nearly 1 million workers, depriving them of a fair wage and a fair chance. For example, Walmart illegally compels employees to work an extra hour or so without pay after their shift is over. More than 30 states have filed class action suits against the company for requiring this off-the-clock work. The largest sex discrimination suit ever filed in U.S. history is underway against Walmart on behalf of nearly a million women who have worked there. Walmart has been sued more times by federal authorities for discrimination against the disabled than any other corporation. Walmart has been formally cited more than 40 times in the past 5 years for using illegal tactics to deny its workers the right to join a union. Its latest legal comeuppance came recently when the feds raided 60 Walmart stores in 21 states and arrested illegal immigrants working as janitors. The workers in these cleaning crews were being paid below the minimum wage, getting as little as $2 a day, working for the richest retailer in the world. "Oh, no," cried Walmart executives. "They don't work for us, but for cleaning contractors we hire. And trust us, we had no idea that they were hiring illegal workers and paying illegal wages." This is Jim Hightower saying, "What a crock." Walmart is renowned for its elaborate computer network that tracks every cost it incurs down to the penny, and for demanding that its suppliers and contractors pay the least wage possible. Plus, this is the third time in the past 5 years that Walmart has been caught pulling this same crime of using illegal cleaning crews. Not only does Walmart know what's going on, but such exploitation of workers is integral to this corporate criminal's ongoing profit plan.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Got an email a little bit earlier from, Shelby Lepre, who runs radiopower.org. No, I'm not going to ask you to contribute money to her site, but if you feel like it, she carries this program. She sent me this article, and above the article she writes, "The media builds up people only to destroy them. It so reflects our culture. This poor kid was just trying to make it out of West Virginia poverty by way of the Army and will be tossed onto the heap of exploited, destroyed American dreams. I hate my country, Shelby." Now, here's the story from the Associated Press. Have you heard about this? The nude photos of PFC Jessica Lynch. Jesus. What it says is, "Pornographer Larry Flint claims he bought nude photos of PFC Jessica Lynch last month to publish in Hustler magazine, but changed his mind because she is, quote, a good kid and a victim of the Bush administration," close quote. The photos, which Flint's publicist says show the undressed Army supply clerk posing with male soldiers, were sold to Flint last month, according to a statement from Flint that was read to the Associated Press on Tuesday. The publicist would not give her name, but she said that Flint, quote, has no plans to use the photos, end quote. Flint's statement said, "Jessica Lynch is a good kid. She's not a hypocrite or out to fool anyone. She's just a victim of the Bush administration who is using her to justify the war in Iraq and force feed us a Joan of Arc," end quote. In an interview with the AP on Tuesday, that's today, right? Yeah, it is today. Lynch declined to comment on any aspect of the matter, including whether such photos exist. The interview was scheduled to publicize her biography, I'm a Soldier Too, the Jessica Lynch story, which was released today. It covers the days between March 23rd, when her 507th Maintenance Company convoy was ambushed in Iraq, and April 1st, when she was evacuated from a hospital by U.S. commandos. After her rescue, the young soldier from Palestine, West Virginia, was celebrated as a hero prisoner of war. Published reports Tuesday said the photos showed Lynch topless, but Flint's publicist claimed the former soldier is nude in the pictures. The publicist said, quote, "At this point, Mr. Flint has no comment as to the content of the photographs except to say Jessica Lynch is not wearing any clothes in them," end quote. Flint's publicist would not say how much the publisher paid for the pictures or who sold them. And then it adds, "Flint has been in a wheelchair since an assassination attempt in 1978. Yeah, that was here in the Atlanta area. Matter of fact, it's right over here in Lawrenceville, where we now go to the grocery store, for Christ's sake. The Lawrenceville, Gwinnett County seat is Lawrenceville, Georgia, It was when Larry Flint was on trial for pornography, and some shooter, they never found, have no idea to this day. Some guy with a rifle, took a couple shots, and Flint's been in a wheelchair ever since. But, you know, Shelby's right. The media builds people up only to destroy them. I just wonder why the Associated Press put the story out there. Oh, well. Nasty business, isn't it? Nasty business. Oh, well, let's move on. Roy is calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Mike. Glad to hear you back. Sure missed you last week.
Right, sir, thank you.
When you were reading that story in the first hour about the young fellow with the stepdaughter and the son on the way, Nancy Skinner was reading that this morning and she lost it. It was what a hell of a way to start the day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, occasionally I get a chance to substitute teach down at a junior high.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there today, and I'm really feeling bummed out. they had a Veterans Day assembly, and the thoughts were great. I felt like such a friggin' hypocrite. All I did was flunk out of college and join the Navy Reserves, but I was a vet, and I heard all of this hero crap. Now, there were some gentlemen there from the Second World War. There were some folks there from the Korean War. Now, those guys were heroes. Even the guys that were on the ground in Nam, getting shot at and everything else, they were there because they were lied to. They weren't protecting us. They weren't saving our liberty.
No.
And then through the whole thing, you know, and there, of course, they had to talk about supporting the troops over in Iraq. Hey, I want to support them. Bring them home.
Absolutely.
And so we got done, and we had about 20 minutes left. I don't know if I'll ever get invited back to substitute or not, because I went back and I kind of told the kids my story of flunking out of college, you know, just being lied in. I told them the story of the Gulf of Tonkin. Gee, we got lied into that one. And then, when we were down there at the National Guard Armory a couple of weeks ago protesting whatever, that was our right. I earned that right. And on the program, and you probably heard this piece of crap, but I want to read it anyway because it's been all over the Internet. I got two copies this morning. I'll be damned if it wasn't on the program. The Battle of the Flag. It's the soldier, not the reporter, that's given us the freedom of press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who's given us freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the campus organizer, who's given us freedom to demonstrate. It's the soldier, not the lawyer, who's given us the right to a fair trial. It's the soldier who salutes the flag and serves under the flag and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. Well, we got in, and I said, hey, folks, I'm going to read this now. And when I get done, I want the answer. I said, I want you to tell me what's wrong with this. And they got done. And these are sixth graders, just getting there.
Right.
I said, hey, folks, it ain't the flag. It ain't the soldiers. It's the Constitution of the United States that gives us the right to do all of this stuff. And so we went on, and I don't know. I just had to vent. They gave us...
Yeah, you're right. You're probably not going to get invited back.
Well, I don't know, you know, because I said, I'm not going to tell you what to think. You know, you hear, you know, these guys over there are doing their job. They got hired to do a job. Now, they got lied into it. And we're over there, we're going to get our oil, so every time you get in your pickups, and whatnot, remember, somebody's over there to get that oil for you.
Well, I think the people who are serving in Iraq were lied to the worst of any military any military operation I can think of, and maybe, possibly, in the history of this republic.
Has to be.
We're not there for any reason other than the Bush crime family told the world that Saddam had all these weapons. He was a threat to life itself. He hadn't.
45 minutes away from getting wiped out.
Right. He hadn't invaded. He hadn't invaded anybody. He his country, as much of a prick as he is, pardon my language, but as much of a thug as he was, his people should have risen up and overthrown him, but we made sure that wouldn't happen.
That's right.
Because we destroyed the middle class in Iraq. We made sure that nobody would have the resources to rise up and throw this guy out of office or assassinate him or whatever it would take. And every single troop that's over there was told a lie, just like every single American, every single citizen of this entire planet who was paying attention. A lot of people are not paying attention. This is George Bush's war. They don't give a damn. But anyone who is paying attention was told a lie. And not just a lie, but a damned lie that has resulted in the deaths of thousands of people, the wounding of God knows how many people, the total destruction of any respect that the United States had put together over the past 8 or 10 years. This Bush crime family has raped this country of its respect on the global stage. And every single troop that's there, living, dead, wounded, about to be killed, is there because George W. Bush lied them into that war. And I hate him for it. I hate him from the bottom of my heart.
And the thing that bothers me is that everything is getting so wound up. This great big liberal media that won't talk about this stuff.
Right.
The fact that you have to go out and search overseas, and then, you know, I'm three quarters away estranged from half my family.
Yeah.
Because I am absolutely, I have gotten to the point, because I feel so strongly about this, I can't not be
vocal,
nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, when somebody says something, I have to absolutely call them on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and my wife said, you got to stop this. You've got to stop. You got to stop listening to this crap. You got to stop reading about it. You just got to assume that one guy can't do anything. And I said, well, this one guy has to try to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I feel better just kind of venting some, but you know, since Korea, you know, I mean, Korea was kind of a half-ass setup, but at least we had the threat of the communist hordes and all this stuff.
Well, that was the same lie we were told in Vietnam. That was
uh-huh.
the same lie we were told in Central America. It was the same lie we were told in the Middle East.
Well, how about Panama? I mean, you know, I mean, just because
all
his drug
it.
Dealer's ready to roll over on people, or he,
right.
he quit running the drugs, or Grenada, this whole thing. I mean, these sixth graders didn't even, you know, they didn't even know the word Grenada.
I know.
It was kind of interesting, but I don't know. I guess we just got to keep on keeping on.
That's what we have to do. Roy, thanks for checking
take
in.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Ty is calling from Chicago. Ty, welcome to the program.
Well, hello there, Mike. Actually, it is a pleasure and an honor to be able to be on your show. I've listened to you probably going on about a year now, and I tell you, I just didn't know that there were people out there like you until I just accidentally stumbled upon this station. And I tell you, through the internet, being able to listen to you and listen to your archive shows, I tell you, it is the most...
Well,
a treasure trove of information for people who actually are seeking the truth about what's going on today with Bush.
It's my pleasure to be here, and of course, like I've said before, it's the program is what it is because of folks who listen and tune in and call. You're calling from Chicago. This is the first time you've called?
Yes, it is, actually.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I've listened to you for a while, going on probably about a year now,
mm-hmm.
and I have to tell you, just the views of what you've been putting out to your audience is just amazing. And I love to see that you bring forth all this information to where people can actually find out what is going on. But what I was actually calling for tonight...
Can I get you to hold, Ty?
Sure.
All right, let me put you on hold for just a moment here, because we have to take a break. We'll come right back to Ty and the rest of your phone calls in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Ring them bells with an iron hand so the people will know. Oh, it's rush hour now on the wheel and the plow. And the sun is a-going down upon the sacred cow.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American and to threats who are friends of America.
Ring them bells, sweet mother, for the poor man's son. Ring them bells so the world will know that God is one. For the shepherd is asleep where the willows weep, and the mountains are filled with lost sea.
My name-
name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want some smell or rush, get your stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, 800-TALK is his number. We're talking with Ty, who is called in from Chicago. Now, thanks for holding on, Ty. Where were we?
No problem there, Mike. Yeah, actually, we left off. My first thing is I was just trying to send out to all the veterans out there, seeing as I was a veteran. Actually, I used to work at the division level at G3 Ops when I was part of 3rd Infantry Division when it was in Germany, located during the first Gulf War. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's just my heart pains every day to see our guys over there for a cause that even with the first one, that had nothing to do with the truth of why we were really there to begin with. And I had the luxury of being at division level, which wasn't the troop level or a line unit level, but I tell you, my pain was with them when they went over there the first time, and now looking at all the guys coming back wounded, coming back dead, it just pains me every day as a veteran, and I wanted to send out a prayer to them for that. But to get to the main point, it was really about me being a movie buff and rewatching a couple of movies that I think that the audience would be interested in rewatching, which would go along with the views that I believe that you have and that most of the listeners out there and myself hold.
Okay.
Is about The Lies. And it was, the first one was Enemy of the State, which is an old movie that came out with Will Smith, but I thought that paralleled pretty much what's going on with this U.S. Patriot Act.
Right.
And the secrecy and the Privacy Act, which was what it was in the movie, how that the government didn't need any warrants, they didn't need anything to video surveillance you, and I feel that's the way things are going with this U.S. Patriot Act. But also the second one, which was the one that I rewatched, was Starship Troopers. And I think a lot of people, that movie made by Paul Verhoeven,
right,
a lot of people missed the point when that movie first came out. But it was talking about the fascism that is going on and how American fascism, I feel, is starting here with Bush's lies, the media purporting lies, and getting all of our people pumped up to believe that there's some enemy out there that we need to destroy.
Yeah, that's an old trick. It was done by the Nazis. It was done by the Soviets. It's been done by just about every tyrannical or totalitarian government, I guess, ever in the history of the human race. You know, make people afraid of this unnamed or the shadowy other, and I, the leader, will protect you. All you have to do is give up your freedom, give me your sons and now your daughters, help me wage endless war, and everything will be fine.
But I just wanted to put that out there. Maybe if the audience and anybody, just rewatch those two movies and actually listen and see what's going on and just look at how it just...
All right.
It's just in parallel with what's going on now.
All right. Thanks, Ty. Thank you
very much, Mike.
Hope you call again.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, Starship Troopers. You saw that, didn't you, Kathy? Yeah, Starship Troopers. He's absolutely right. That movie is not just a little sci-fi shoot 'em up, bang bang, and the other one, Enemy of the State, which that was out recently, five, six years ago. Yeah, another good one. Our bureau chief in Brookings, Oregon, is calling. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, well, I guess while we're giving movie reviews, let me give a thumbs up to a Ronald Reagan movie, by the way, The Killers, where the only thing I'll give away about it is Lee Marvin shoots Ronald Reagan right in the gut at the end of the movie. One of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Anyway.
Yeah, well, somebody on the program the other night, last night, I guess, mentioned that same movie, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I was watching last week on an American Movie Class at the start, and I didn't even know what it was.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw that Ronald Reagan was in it. Oh, my God. It's a good movie, and Ronald Reagan's in it?
Ronald Reagan's in it. Where's the chimpanzee, right?
Bedtime,
you know, Bedtime for Bonzo.
Bedtime for Bonzo. He should have gone to bed a long time before he ever
I think my favorite Reagan movie was King's Row, where he's got that line where he looks down and his leg's been amputated. He said, "Where's the rest of me?"
Like wife Jane Wyman said, she got sick and tired of watching that movie over and over and over again.
That's what I mean. Hey, listen, hold on a second, Joe. We got to take a break here. I'll come back to you right after the break. Do stay with us. We have two open lines if you'd like to check in tonight. 800-TALK-YES.
Who got the mass destruction? Who got the nuclear bombs? Who got the chemical stockpile?
Thieves and high.
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Tree of life might resemble a tangled shrub more than a mighty oak. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The tree of life is a flowchart that biologists use to trace the evolutionary history of life on Earth. Many species branch off from a single ancestor, and even more sprout from each of those. But evolutionary biologists have discovered something that could dramatically change the shape of this tree. Jonathan Eisen is a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. Eisen studies the genetic makeup of bacteria to determine how different species are related. He says bacteria do something called lateral gene transfer. Unrelated species can simply swap genes. Eisen says that genetic mixing could make it inaccurate to depict evolutionary history as a branching tree.
If instead, as many people now think, organisms are composed of genes that have different histories, some genes from one lineage and some genes from another lineage, then we can no longer represent evolutionary history as a tree. It has to be represented as sort of a weird Escher diagram with branches branching off and then fusing with other branches later on, and then possibly a big weird shrub with open and closed branches going in all sorts of different directions.
Eisen says lateral gene transfer was discovered 5 years ago in bacteria resistant to antibiotics.
So one bacteria that is sensitive to an antibiotic can become resistant to that antibiotic by stealing genes from a completely different species of bacteria that was already resistant to that antibiotic.
Eisen says these resistant bacteria pose a challenge for the treatment of some diseases, and he says the microbial gene swapping could cause a lot of confusion among evolutionary scientists who might have to rethink the shape of the tree of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really,
you should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
You know that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Who did that? Dobie Gray? I don't think that's Dobie Gray's version. I like that song. We're talking with Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Joe, thanks for holding on. Where were we?
Yeah, well, speaking of Ronald Reagan, you know, what the Democrats really need to do is put Zell Miller at the bottom of the ticket, because they need to do everything they can do to reach out to the Reagan Democrats. Better yet, let's dig up George Wallace and run him at the top of the ticket and go all the way with it.
Yeah, you ought to live here in Georgia. You know, there was a time when, oh, this is back in the late 70s, when Zell Miller was running, I think the first time he was running for lieutenant governor. What we do here in Georgia, governors and lieutenant governors run on separate, they're totally separate from each other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was working for a weekly newspaper here, the Atlanta Gazette, Alternative Press, and I went to a fundraiser for Zell Miller, and he really impressed me. As a matter of fact, I referred to him in the article I wrote as having, when you, if you got past the North Georgia accent, you could hear echoes of Bobby Kennedy and what Zell Miller was talking about. He was lieutenant governor of the state for 12 years, and he was governor for 8. So he was, for 20 years, he was in the executive branch of government here in Georgia. He did some good things. Zell Miller was not a racist. Zell Miller worked on behalf of just about everybody in the state. Zell Miller put together the Hope Scholarship Program. Zell Miller, I could go on and on and on and on. And when people who are more politically astute than I used to refer to him as Zigzag Zell, I never knew really what they meant. But I used to be a supporter. Paul Begala, that's how I met Paul Begala, and that's how I met James Carville. They came here and went to work on Zell Miller's campaign, I think the first time he ran for governor. Because this is really a redneck state, and I say that this is my home, but and I can say that. But it's a terrible. The politics here just suck. It's awful. So they brought in Carville, they brought him to Gala, and he won. And I busted my ass working for Zell Miller and supporting Zell Miller. If I was working in radio, I would get him on when he was lieutenant governor or when he was governor. If I was writing, I would write about him. When all this stuff happened, started happening with Zell Miller. About 2 years ago, when he was appointed senator, I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. I don't understand what has happened to this man. I know his son Murphy. I've said this before on the program. His son Murphy Miller, who is probably about 15 years younger than I am, but I've known Murphy for a number of years. I haven't seen Murphy for a long time, but I'd like to ask him, you know, what has happened with your father? Now, that's a good way to get punched in the nose here in the South when you say to somebody, what happened to your father? He's really turned into a jackass. But I could leave off the jackass part. I don't know what has happened to Zell Miller. I honestly don't. He was one of the Southern white politicians who really could play the redneck role. I mean, I don't think I ever saw the man where he wasn't wearing cowboy boots, where he wasn't driving a pickup truck, where he wasn't, you know, just sounding as country could be. And yet, when you talked to him, you found out that this was a Southern populist. I don't mean in the George Wallace vein, although Wallace started out as a fairly decent politician, too, until he made that famous statement, "They'll never out-nigger me again." And that's how he got elected governor of Alabama, finally. He became a racist. But Zell was a populist of the sort that you could respect, at least I could respect. He was a Southern Democrat before the Southern Democrats decided to turn tail and join the Republican Party or become just racist thugs. So I don't know what has happened to Zell. All that, Joe, by way of my saying, I have no idea. If I saw him tomorrow, which I'm sure I won't, we certainly don't travel in the same circles, but if I saw him tomorrow, I think I'd turn and walk away rather than walk up and say, Zell, what the hell has happened to you?
Yeah, well, I suppose that would be the nice thing to do. And I'd like to, you know, respond to some of the things he's been saying about, you know, well, Howard Dean, someone like Howard Dean will be a disaster for the Democrats. You know, let me tell you something. As a two-time Nader voter and as a member of the Green Party, Howard Dean is the best damn thing to happen to the Democratic Party in probably the last 20 years. If the Democrats are too stupid to recognize that, then the Democrats get whatever they deserve. This is coming from a Kucinich supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Dean is going to be hard to knock off. Now, the thing is, Zell Miller is talking about, Howard Dean combines the worst aspects of the McGovern campaign and the Mondale campaign. Well, you know what? Even when the Democrats are getting their asses kicked back in, they were still in control of Congress. It's when these DLC types, like what Zell Miller is acting like, and the Clintons, and Joe Lieberman, and the rest of these jackasses, and they lost control of Congress for the first time in 40 years, and they haven't got control of Congress back since. The Zell Miller, he starts talking about Mondale and McGovern. He couldn't be more full of it. You know, like Mondale was some kind of great radical left winger, for God's sakes. Walter Mondale was talking about raising the Pentagon budget by 4% compared to Ronald Reagan raising it by 7%.
I know.
What are these idiots talking about?
I have no idea. It's just gotten crazy. It's gotten crazy, Joe. Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. I'm not trying to cut you off, but I guess I'm trying to cut you off because I want to talk about this thing that happened when I was out, and that was the Howard Dean statement. And, Joe, you brought it to mind when Howard Dean said that he wanted to, his words, be the candidate for guys with Confederate flags in their pickup trucks. And when the flap started, now he said the first time he said that was way back in July, I think, June or July, at a meeting of Democratic activists, black and white, Hispanic, and he made basically the same statement. He got applause for it, and the reason it became an issue is because the other Democrats in this this primary crazy season attacked him. Sharpton attacked him. John Edwards attacked him. Who else attacked him? I think Gephardt did. I think Kerry did. All of them. You know, I sometimes just hang my head in shame that I'm still a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party. I really am. What Dean was trying to say was so simple, it would seem to me that a fifth grader could understand it. You know, and that was simply that the Republicans had so screwed with the heads of white Southerners, white Southern males, so screwed with their heads to the point now that so many whites, and I'm not talking about the hardcore racists. Okay, look, you know, I've lived in the South for the better part of 40 years. I understand what happens down here. I understand what happens in the state of Georgia when you get outside the Beltway Highway around Atlanta, Georgia. I understand what it's like to live in rural Mississippi and southern Alabama and South Carolina. You know, I have a son who's soon going to be a fireman for a rural fire company in South Carolina. I understand all of this. I've been here long enough to really absorb it. But Howard Dean's statement was very simple and clear and specific, that the Republicans, starting with the Nixon strategy to corrupt and pollute and destroy the South, to turn black against white and white against black, to absolutely turn ass over backwards the Democratic Party ideals in the South. And again, because we Americans are not the most politically astute people on the planet, we allowed it to happen. And white Southerners allowed this to happen. White Southerners have allowed themselves to be turned inside out and raped by the Republican Party. And what Howard Dean was trying to say, essentially, was that any white Southern male, and using the metaphor of the pickup truck driving Confederate flag decal waving freak that drives into town with cow manure on his boots, what Howard Dean was trying to say is, you people don't know, but if you vote for Republicans, you're cutting your own damn throat. So I want to be the candidate. I want to sit down with you pickup truck driving, Confederate flag decal using Southern white men, and explain to you why you're cutting your own throat, you're emasculating yourselves every time you vote Republican. And that's what Howard Dean was trying to do. And damn these people like Zell Miller and John Edwards, who should know better. I mean, if anybody should know better, it would be John Edwards and Zell Miller, because they are white men who have come up in the South. Zell Miller is more of a political animal than anybody in the United States at this point, with the possible exception of Joe Lieberman. And these white men understand, these Southern whites understand, Zell Miller knows, when he goes after Howard Dean for making that statement, Zell Miller knows what a fake son of a bitch he really is, Zell Miller. When John Edwards, who should know better, living in North Carolina, for God's sake, he should know better. But because these are political opportunists, they attacked Howard Dean. I could not believe the story that developed about Howard Dean's innocent, true statement. This was not like Trent Lott trying to suck up to this half-dead freak that was retiring on his 100th birthday party, Strom Thurmond. This was Howard Dean making a very clear statement. It had nothing to do with racism, nothing to do with bigotry. It had to do with the way the Republican Party has absolutely and utterly driven a wedge between white voters and other white voters, between white voters and black voters here in the South. because they have no ethics, they have no platform, they have no morality. They're stinking thugs. So how do they turn the South from the Democratic base that it was into this Republican nonsense? By going after the race issue. By trying to make white Southerners, and they've damn near completed the operation to make white Southern males think the Democratic Party is the party of Negroes. You sons of bitches, I just hate you. I hate you to the depths of my soul. I will hate you when I'm dead. I will hate you a million years after I'm dead. I will still hate you. My hate will be a star in the firmament that will shine down on your Republican asses forever. That's how deep this hatred is because of what you're doing to this country. Ooh. Did I say all that? Ouch. Don't laugh. It hurts. The stitches are still in there. Oh, damn. Well, it is hard. It's hard. All of this is hard. I just hate this. The attacks on Howard Dean because of an honest, forthright statement that had nothing to do with politics. It had to do with trying to reach out to, you know, I live here. For Christ's sake, I live here. I see it all the time. On the weekends when Kathy and I drive around the mountains, going to these little mountain fairs and going out to buy jams and jellies and what else do we do? Driving up in the mountains, look at the leaves and go up to Unicoi State Park and climb up that dam all the way up that waterfall. What's the name of it? Anarubi Falls, and you know, in the parking lot, there's 150 vehicles, and 98 of them are pickup trucks, and every one of them talk about Bush and Christ, kill a commie for Christ, kill a Muslim for Christ, and you just look at these people and think, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I'm not making any sense. I apologize. But the way these Democrats, Republicans, of course, they're going to make an issue about it. About Howard Dean's statement. Oh, look, that son of a bitch is a racist. Look at him. Yeah, look what he said. But for white men like Zell Miller and John Kerry and John Edwards, especially Southern whites, to go after Howard Dean, and you know why they did it. Because they know that Howard Dean is probably going to wind up with the Democratic Party nomination, and that just galls their ass. They just can't stand it. They just can't stand it. So they attack him. You know, here we are once again, Democrats in a circle with their rifles up, locked and loaded, and somebody hollers, fire. Dumb bastards. Just absolutely stupid. Okay, that's all I had to say about the Howard Dean thing, but Howard Dean, in a lot of ways, is more conservative in an absolute sense than a phony ass like Zigzag Zell Miller is. Zell Miller had me fooled for 15 years, unless for some reason Zell had some kind of epiphany and just decided, why should I be a Southern Democrat? I can make more money if I become a Republican and to talk like one anyway and sell my book. I'm not trying to mock him because of the way he talks. Everybody knows that Zell sounds like he's got a mouthful of cow droppings every time he opens his mouth. That's just the way he talks. But just hateful stuff. Hateful, hateful stuff directed against Howard Dean. So, based on that, not that I was a Kerry supporter, not that I was a John Edwards supporter, not that I was have any truck with Zell Miller at all, but just based on that, those people can just go straight to hell. Just go straight to hell. And my man Dennis, I don't know. I said early on, 8-9 months ago, that I was going to stick with Dennis Kucinich until the bitter end, and then looks like it's going to be Howard Dean, for me anyway. And I think he handled it as best as he could. He knew he was being slammed. He didn't mean a single thing with that statement. He meant exactly what he was saying. I want to be the candidate for those people. You people have been driven away from the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is where you belong. You want to drive your pickup truck? You want to wave your stupid-ass Southern flag? Go ahead, wave it. But and drive your pickup truck like my buddy Malloy does. But I'll tell you right now, voting Republican, you're taking a knife and opening up your own gut. And just bleeding all over the tobacco plants. You know what I'm saying? Let's blame our troubles on the sweet God.
on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Minority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're just almost out of time. Charles is calling from here in the Atlanta area. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for having me on the program. I listen to your program every night.
Well, thank you.
I'm streaming from on the internet, and I like listening to you talk about the issue. It's very important. And but I just have a quick comment here about Zell Miller. I think it's, like you said, it's such a tragedy that this has happened about his sudden flip-flop. He would not have gotten to the Senate if Roy Barnes had not appointed him.
That's right.
After the death of Senator Coverdale.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, if he feels so strongly about his ideas right now, it's so much better, it's so much more honest for him to change parties.
Absolutely.
Rather than walk from within the Democratic Party to destroy the party in the way that it's going.
That's very true.
I believe it's possible for, in a place like Congress, it's possible for there to be different opinion on issues. The whole essence of it is to walk together with your colleagues and try to change things. But unfortunately, he has decided to take that route. I watched him on Tim Rossett the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if I could give him the benefit of doubt. You know, he had his own side of his story, and
couldn't do it.
Such a disappointment.
I know.
And, I mean, he really ought to leave the party.
Yeah, he should. Zell Miller is certainly entitled to his opinion. That's what that's what politics is all about. But he shouldn't, as you point out, he shouldn't be some kind of a dry rot within the Democratic Party. Get out, go be a Republican, and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks, Charles. I appreciate you checking in. I hope you're going to call again.
Yes, I will. Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. Take care. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, check it out. Register, and you can have a good time, sailor. Come on over and play. Thanks to our moderators there who keep things flowing. Thanks to them as well. Excuse me. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your input. Remember, also, please, the best way to honor our troops overseas on this Veterans Day, bring them home now.
Anderson. Commander William C. McCool. All were heroes. All will be remembered.
There before me a shadow from another world where no other can follow. Carry me to my own, to where I can cross over, close to
think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah.
You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. An Australian lawyer representing some of the suspects held without charge at the Guantanamo Bay military prison in Cuba claimed Wednesday that the U.S. military has tortured terrorist suspects. U.S.-based Richard Bourque, who has been working for almost 2 years on behalf of dozens of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, said